Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to another episode of Pit Lane Parlay. I am your host, Mike Jokum. Frenchie is here. We apologize for also missing last week. Just kind of been a little bit of a hectic couple weeks for me personally, with my professional career not going so well, as I'm sure you saw on Twitter. And I don't want to be depressing about it because I'm already in a crappy mood, so Frenchie has our non-racing question. Welcome to 2024. Go team. We're all open wheel stuff today, which is probably how we'll continue doing these episodes. And yeah, let's rock and roll.
Happy 2024 to all of you out there. Hopefully your year has gotten off to a better start than perhaps host Mike just mentioned his did. But we'll move on from that quickly. My question, the first one I'll start with today, is what sport would you compete in if you were in the Olympics? And I think I know which one you would choose, but I figured it might be interesting for our listeners to hear what you would pick.
Well, I guess the obvious one would be hockey.
Yeah, that's what I thought you'd say.
But let's not be obvious and go with like the ice luge, like the bobsled.
Oh, that's cool.
I think that would be a lot of fun.
So bobsled or like the skeleton, or like one of the there's a bunch of different ones. Like bobsled's one where you have a team of four people, right? And you go down the
let's do a team. That's, okay, that seems like the one where you get less injured, so you know, let's do that one.
That's cool. Yeah, I could see that. So it's still on ice, so you'd be a Winter Olympics person for sure. You prefer those to Summer Olympics?
100%.
Okay,
even though there, as a girlfriend and I were talking about, I don't know, last week or the week before, there is a lot more variety in the Summer Olympics. I personally choose the Winter Olympics.
Okay, that's cool. I think for me, the sport I would obviously compete in would be swimming, because that's what I did sort of throughout my life. But that would, I would not be competitive in the least. So I'll think of another sport that I could just lose at but might be more interesting. I guess I'd be interested in, it's kind of hard. I'm not even good at skiing, but I think like the downhill skiing is really cool to watch. So I would do that and probably fall, like just fall and not even be able to actually go through all of the, what are those things called that they have to kind of touch on their way down the hill?
Yeah.
The slalom. Yeah, they're like little, not banners, but like gates. Gates, is that what they call them?
I have no idea.
Okay, well, someone will tell us, or they're laughing at our ignorance either way.
Yeah, that's fine.
But my other question is, if you could hang out in person with any cartoon character, who would you choose and why?
Okay. Is Batman a cartoon character?
Yeah, I mean, I guess we may be offending some people who are into comics. I don't know if that's like a debate about comics versus cartoons, but I'd say, yeah. There was a Batman TV show I used to watch as a kid, like a cartoon.
Yeah. All right, that's my answer.
So what would you do with him?
I would want to scale tall buildings with his little bat hook thingamajig.
And oh, that's cool.
I would like to drive cars that, you know, just jump over buildings and blow shit up. You know, go out to like some desert and just like shoot those rockets that come out of the Batmobile and, you know, just blow up some cardboard boxes or something. I don't want to hurt anybody. Let's make that clear.
Just
at least in this fictional discussion.
Just take out your rage on some inanimate objects.
Yeah, exactly. Like a rage room, but like with explosives.
All right. That went darker than I expected for a question about cartoons, but I think for me, I would pick Snoopy or like the Peanuts.
Okay.
I don't know. Snoopy just seems like he's a smart dog that would be fun to hang out with. And I don't know why with the rest of the Peanuts I would want to hang out with them, because it's like I would have to be a kid. Like I can't go hang out with them as an adult, hang out with, you know, little kid Peanuts. But it'd be fun to go like have recess with them or something. I don't know.
That's yeah, that's fair. That's much less dark than I feel like a lot of my answers today are going to be dark because you know, I didn't sleep well last night. I just, you know, not in the greatest of mental states in general right now, so I'm just, you know, I'm a little frustrated with life, so my answers might be dark, and if so, I don't really care.
The Simpsons would also be cool, actually. Just to, like, go be in an episode of The Simpsons. I want to see myself Simpsonized. That'd be fun.
Okay. I respect that. I've never been really a Simpsons fan. Like, I don't know if I've ever watched a full episode. I probably have at some point in my life. But that would still be a good answer for this. And, like, I would be interested in seeing what I looked like as a, you know, a Simpsons character form.
In Springfield, yeah. I don't think I watched that much of it either, but I definitely haven't seen it in a long time, but I know it's, I mean, everyone knows what it is and knows the characters.
Yep. I'm with you.
I guess to move into racing talk, we have to start with something that we're probably a little behind on after missing last week, but we just want to, as Pit Lane Parlay, kind of, I don't know, I guess offer our condolences for friends and family and fans, frankly, of Gilles Deferrin, who unfortunately we lost. I guess that was just sort of the end of last year. And it's pretty shocking given how young he was. I guess it was unexpected, but, you know, I guess that can also be seen as perhaps a good thing, as he was racing when he did it, so he probably had no idea what was coming and had no time to be afraid of it. And as it's shocking to the rest of us, you know, his legacy will live on. I was a big fan of his as a kid. He's sort of the driver that I latched onto when I became a fan of kart in 1999, when he was driving for, did he start driving for Penske? No, he wasn't driving for Penske yet. He was driving for, I believe, is that Walker?
I'm probably not the best one to remember things today.
I think it was Walker. I don't know, but he's somebody who, I think that was the Valvoline car in 99. He had driven for Walker for a few years, but I don't know. He was just always a likable guy. I know he won a race in 99. I remember he won Portland. But I don't know, anything else to add to sort of his loss? I know he was a big deal at McLaren for a while, and he obviously was well known in the racing world because he was good friends with David Coulthard. I guess they had crossed paths in the European ladder series. I know he tested a Williams F1 car at one point in the early 90s. So, I mean, he was somebody that was clearly on the radar on both sides of the Atlantic.
Yeah, I don't have a lot to add. I'm sorry. Normally I might. I was pretty sad the night it happened. I think I texted you like,
yeah,
right away, and man, it's hard. It's unfortunate that something happens so young, and you know, with like a heart attack or something, it's kind of scary because it's not like you can't really fight a heart attack like you can certain diseases and sicknesses and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Not trying to downplay anything or any sickness, but you know, when it's sudden like that, it always freaks you out. And I remember last week thinking like, well, you know, what happens if that happens to me? Or like, you know, there's people who have heart attacks all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Even before Jill at 56. But again, listen, again, I'm making this like really dark. I'm sorry.
I was going to turn that into a positive, though, and just say that essentially he crammed a lot of life in, right, in his 56 years, right? He did a lot of really cool things that most people will never get the chance to do. He's driven faster than most humans on Earth. I mean, he has more talent in a car than pretty much everybody on Earth would, except a select few. And clearly he was loved by everyone. I didn't see, I mean, he just had that kind of nice personality that a lot of the Brazilian drivers tend to have, right? They just come out and they're popular immediately. I don't know what it is that they're doing down there in Brazil, but they just tend to breed these racing stars with the talent and the personality to go with it. And like you said, maybe just seeing that he kind of was suddenly taken from his family and his life, it makes you appreciate just what you have, right? And hopefully make the most of all our days here to start 2024.
Yeah, man. Well said. I guess we can dive into the news now.
Oh, yeah. There's not much in the IndyCar world, I don't think. That was pretty much it.
Also, I do quietly hear Cooper in the background. If you see me laughing, that is...
I figured. Okay. Yeah.
Cooper's going to stay in the episode this week because I think he deserves it.
I mean, my door is closed. I don't know if he's behind a door over there.
There's nothing you can do.
I think he's playing, but you can't tell because that's his way of talking. But he's not begging to get into my office. He's with Michelle and her sisters here, so I think they're hanging out.
Gotcha.
We mostly have F1 news, and it's not a ton, but there are some interesting things that I want to get your take on. I guess with IndyCar, I was trying to think if there was really anything that we were going to discuss. And we were messaging last week about the seats that are still left to be filled and what we're hoping to hear soon. And so we're planning to hear something in the 14 car, I imagine, coming up soon.
I think I can't speak to who it is. I know who it is. But I'm pretty sure the announcement will happen before this episode comes out, unless we put this episode out like in the morning.
Okay.
Yeah, we're recording Monday night. I am pretty sure the announcement is going to be at some point on Tuesday, if I'm not mistaken, because they want to do it before IndyCar content days, which are Wednesday and Thursday.
Okay.
So I think it will, you know, if we just stick to keeping this on Thursday, you know, like we normally do, we will cover it next week. That's pretty much all I can say.
Yeah, so our knowledge that we were kind of slipped will be validated, I guess, by the time this goes out. And I think people may or may not be surprised, I guess. I can let them figure it out. I think it may be kind of obvious who's going to be in that seat, but that's just to me. I think others hopefully will gather my hints here. We're also probably going to know who's in at least one of the coin seats by the time this episode comes out, right?
I think so. Hold on a second here. Let me scroll through my source notes here. Filling a seat this week. Yes, we should have one coin seat, I think, this week, and then the other theoretically either next week or the week after. But unless it's Dale Coyne, next week could be, you know, February 27th. So I'll take that with a grain of salt.
And we know one of those drivers, or we think we do, right? But the other driver could be out of left field.
Again, looking at said source notes, I don't know if we do. I don't have anything written down in my notes.
Okay, but I think there are whispers going around about who it could be. I don't know if those rumors have held since we last heard them, but
yeah,
I'm going to assume it's a certain person that will... I guess.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. Okay.
So again, I apologize. This is going to be like a rough episode because I just am like three quarters here right now, and I'm a quarter in Space Cadet land. So
you're still in 2023. Like part of you is still.
part of me is in like 20. Yeah, yeah. Let's just leave it at that.
2007.
Dude, I wish. I was in college. Life was a lot simpler. But I didn't know who my girlfriend was, and she's pretty awesome. She's been very, very helpful in my recent life struggles, and even though she is very, very busy this week, actually for like the next week.
Well, her job just means she's busy always, right? Pretty much.
Pretty much, you know. It's yeah, for the most part. But if I needed something, like, you know, to call or whatever, just to, you know, vent, you know, makes time for you. So if you're not with somebody, find somebody that will, even on a busy day, like, you know, tomorrow, for example, she's not working, but we're not hanging out. Yeah, I hear him too. And, you know, if I need something, can I call and bother her? Not bother her, you know what I mean. You know, call and just be like, hey, can I have 5 minutes to vent about my life, you know, professional life right now? She would make the time for it. So, you know, that's all you can ask for in this sort of situation.
Yeah, and I mean, it's nice to have sort of one aspect of life more or less sorted and stable right now. And then, of course, the other one goes and upends itself. But hey, I mean, I guess nothing can be perfect all the time.
She said something. I think we were driving home. We were either driving back from her parents after Christmas, or we were driving to her parents for Christmas after my parents. And, you know, when I was just talking about how, you know, it's really hard with the uncertainty of a layoff to feel like confident in yourself and confident in your like professional future. And, you know, that kind of probably led me to take my last job. You know, the one, I mean, you know, I was pretty frustrated there anyway, but it was a job and, you know, it paid the bills and got me into this apartment. And she said to me, I don't want you to take a job just to take one, you know, find one that at least, you know, makes you somewhat happy. And, you know, an answer like that is, or an answer, a you know, message like that is, to me, as somebody who, I mean, as you know, I'm a pretty emotional person as it is, I don't hide it at all, was highly, highly appreciated.
Yeah, I mean, that's who you want in your corner, for sure, when you're dealing with some struggles. Obviously, I think people, like you said, are aware of what you said on Twitter, so
yeah,
not a huge secret, but I mean, it's not something that's going to be forever.
No, definitely not. And I, like, what I did was, and I told you, I hired a career counselor just to, like, the first couple sessions were like, am I on the right track professionally? You know, not ignoring the whole, like, being laid off standpoint. And, you know, she gave me some really cool, like, it was a lot of, like, assessments and tests and personality quizzes, and like
those are fun,
and then tells you like what you're good at and what you're not good at, and it was pretty damn accurate.
Oh, so you didn't learn anything new? Or you did?
No, it definitely, like, it was more reassuring than learning a ton of new things.
Okay.
And then we are currently going through a big resume and LinkedIn rewrite, which should be done by this weekend, So it's, you know, it's helpful. It's definitely helpful, like everything, even just like learning, like, okay, I don't need, you know, because I was thinking after getting laid off, like, you know, maybe I'm in the wrong career field. Maybe I need to, this is just a poor example, become a teacher. I never want to become a teacher, I promise you. And what some of these assessments taught me was like, nope, your life is on the right track. You know what you like, you're good at it. And, you know, ah, oh, shit. Reminds me, I forgot to do one thing before I left my parents' house for dinner. But anyway, yeah, I think I've rambled on enough. I'm very thankful for her right now, even though I have not heard from her pretty much all day because of work. So that's okay. I'm just bored right now. Not bored, like, right now.
Hey, you're
just
recording.
Today.
Yeah.
I meant, like, today bored. In general. I'm always bored. Frenchie, you bore me. I'm kidding.
Damn, okay. Ouch. But I think if anyone in Philadelphia area is listening and has a high-paying job for someone like host Mike.
Need to be high paying, just like decent paying.
No, high paying.
Okay, high paying.
We need you to be a high roller.
Okay, fair enough.
So that way we can go to every race this season.
Yeah, totally.
Just kidding, that's not happening. Okay, back to racing. The first thing I'm going to talk about is a quote from Logan Sargeant.
Okay.
And I'm just going to read the quote, and then I want to hear your perspective. He was discussing kind of the transition from F2 to F1, and he said, there are so many more fine details in F1, and there's just so many more things that add into performance than just getting in the car and driving like you do in F2. There's so many things you can do from a driving aspect that you can't do in an F2 car, in an F1 car. And there's just so many more things that add into performance than just getting in the car and driving like you do. I feel like that's the bit you miss. Whereas in F1, there are so many things that need to come together before you'll be quick. And that's the thing that F2 misses for sure. And then, yeah, the cars, just in my opinion, are not quite quick enough. So to me, this sounds like Mr. Sargeant was expecting the transition from F2 to F1 to be a bit easier than it was, and sure, to be more competitive and kind of naturally quick, faster. And honestly, I disagree with his premise. I mean, he is a race car driver, so it's hard for me to do that. But I think F1 should be the place where you have to do extra. You have to go above and beyond.
Sure.
To show that you belong there and that you can perform. And he didn't really offer that in his first year. And thankfully, he's getting a second year because I don't think a lot of people expected that he would. And so he has a chance to prove that he now understands what he wasn't doing and if he has that in him. But I think F2 is doing what it should be doing. I mean, it's not like he got in and was incapable of driving it or was like super off the pace. He was within a reasonable margin of everyone else on the grid. It just wasn't good enough. And that last little bit, I think, is where you show that you're an F1 driver. What is your take on that?
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think when he tested, I don't know if you remember, like, obviously he tested with probably, you know, at least a McLaren or something, like a car that's probably better the last couple of years than the Williams cars. But also when you test, it's a very controlled atmosphere. So it's hard, you know, you can't go into a test and then go, that's what the car is going to be like at any race this year. So I think it shows that he wasn't prepared, which is pretty silly and a little embarrassing. I mean, I kind of understand it. You know, he's a young kid. He doesn't know any better to a certain degree. But really, his team should have been telling him, like, hey, man, this shit's hard. You know, there's a lot of options on an F1 car to hit some buttons and whatnot. And yeah, so I think that's all I got.
I mean, he spent 3 years in Formula 3. And I mean, he finished third in 2020. So that was pretty good, but he only really spent a year. It was the 2022 season in F2, and he finished fourth. And he kind of got his, super license and then was able to move up. So a lot of people spend like 3 years as well in F2. Or you have right. The guys who are crazy good who win it in like their first year, like Piastri, who just wins, F3, F4, F3, F2, like in that order in subsequent years. But yeah, he wasn't prepared, I don't think. And I do respect that he's being open about this. I think he's been someone who has not been blaming others, really, which I was
sure
actually kind of shocked by. No offense to Logan, but I just expected him to be the kind of guy who would blame everything else around him, kind of like a Nyck de Vries. Remember when Nyck de Vries would just like complain about everything else was it was not his fault? But this tells me that Logan is saying, oh, wow, so I was in F2 and I was competitive. And I mean, maybe it's not great to criticize F2, but I guess this might be his way of kind of giving back and saying, hey, for the future, don't expect just because you're competitive in F2, there's a lot more to F1 than just faster cars.
Yeah. I have a hard time disagreeing.
Good. I'm glad I'm convincing. related to Williams, they just today, as we are recording this on Monday, said they're going to extend their Mercedes engine deal until 2030, at least the end of 2030. So that means we have, what, at least another six years of them as a customer team for Mercedes. And, you know, I think that's a good thing. Their Mercedes power plant has been one that's relatively reliable. That's not been something that we've ever seen issues. So it's up to Williams to kind of build, you know, the competitive car around that package. But after Aston Martin got that Honda deal, I mean, where else was Williams going to go? They're not going to sign with Ferrari. I wouldn't trust that. And you're not going to take an Alpine customer engine. No way.
Nope.
So you got to stay with Mercedes. That's the only other option that makes any sense.
I'm Bruce Martin, host of Pit Pass Indy. Each week, I go behind the scenes of the NTT IndyCar Series and introduce our listeners to the biggest stars of IndyCar, which features the Indianapolis 500 as its cornerstone event. The men and women that compete in IndyCar may be the bravest athletes in all of sport, as danger lurks around every corner. They are able to look danger in the eye without flinching. That is why the NTT IndyCar Series features the best racing on the planet. Join me every week as we talk to the stars of IndyCar, including the legends of the Indianapolis 500, on Pit Pass Indy from Evergreen Podcast.
Have you ever wanted to know how to win a Formula One Grand Prix? I mean, really know. Know about the driver tactics from the cockpit, the strategy calls from the pit wall, and even the mind games in the paddock. There's a lot more that goes into winning a Grand Prix than just 90 minutes of racing. So every week on the F1 Strategy Report, we're taking a deep dive into the decisions that shape every result. Hey there, my name is Michael Laminato, and every week I'm joined by an expert guest from the paddock to talk through the big calls that won the race and the missteps that resulted in bitter defeat. Before every race, we'll look back at the previous year's result and consult the current form guide, and we'll be in your feed after every Grand Prix dissecting the outcome and what it means for the championship. So for your regular hit of Formula One analysis, subscribe to the F1 Strategy Report wherever you get your favourite podcasts. The Strategy Report is a Beer Mogul podcast on the Evergreen Podcasts Network. My name's Michael Laminato, and I'll catch you after the checkered flag.
Yeah, I got nothing for you.
Okay, so apparently AlphaTauri is moving to Milton Keynes.
Okay.
So most of their, I think, factory right now is in Faenza in Italy, if you remember. I think that was where, it's not far from Monza, right?
I have no idea.
Or maybe it's close to Imola. I don't remember exactly where. I've actually never been to Italy. I would love to go if anyone wants to donate to the PLP Travel Fund.
And I have not been back since, but I would love to go back one day, but not this year.
But so it sounds like they're going to make a shift to go back to England. I mean, most of the teams are based there, pretty much except Ferrari, right? And I guess Sauber / what's their new name? You want to make fun of it real quick? What are they, Steak F1 Team?
Medium Rare Well Done T-Bone Steak F1 Team.
Yeah. That was interesting. I don't like their logo or their like color scheme, really.
No, I like nothing about it.
Yeah, it's one of the, like, I thought Racing Point was kind of dumb, but this is worse.
It's very cheesy. It's very, like, I don't know, cheesy or just like, I mean, listen, they probably offered a shitload of money, so I'm sure that's why they did it, but
yeah.
It's just, I don't know, it's weird. That's for damn sure.
Well, it's a betting platform, right? A sports betting platform. I'm pretty sure that's what Stake is. I think it's mostly, I think it may be global, actually. But for some reason, I think it's more popular in other parts of the world. Yep, it's a crypto casino and sports betting platform.
Okay.
It's actually, it's an Australian, and I don't even know how to say this, even though I've been to the country. Curacaoan? Yeah, because I've been to Curacao. Yeah. So, but that's where it is. It's incorporated there. Oh, it's operated by Medium Rare NV, which is like their holding company, I guess. Wow.
Of course it is. Medium Rare. Come on. I you stole that idea from me.
They did. They owe you money. But they were a sponsor of, they allegedly, they don't actually owe you money.
No.
They've been sponsoring some football teams like Everton. I guess apparently they sponsored soccer. Pietro.
For you who are in
oh yeah, apologies. Yeah. It's like
we don't call it football.
English, games. You know, Premier League.
Yeah.
Football club team, soccer. They also sponsored Pietro and Enzo Fittipaldi, and I guess Drake is a, because he was involved in their launch, if I remember correctly, and it was really strange, and I didn't understand why. I think he rapped for their launch video that they posted. But to get back to AlphaTauri, I think they've had an issue getting talented engineers, similar to AJ Foyt, right, to come down from basically the area where everybody is, right? They have Motorsport Valley in the UK, which all the teams are kind of located within a similar, you know, area. And they also have a lot of college programs where people go to study motorsport engineering. So it makes a lot of sense. And they have a lot of talent that they can pick from in that area. But having to ask them to move to Northern Italy, I mean, while it sounds attractive, may not be what some people want to do. And I guess if you're an Italian talented engineer, you're probably going to go work for Ferrari instead of AlphaTauri if you want to work in F1. So they're going to be doing a lot of recruiting, and I guess they're just going to try to kind of move into a larger facility in Milton Keynes. And I imagine, I don't see anything about getting rid of that Faenza facility, but I think it's shifting focus, if that makes sense, to be a more UK-based operation, which is interesting in light of all the comments that have been made recently about the conflicts of interest between AlphaTauri and Red Bull that, like, Zach Brown made, and among others.
Yeah. Yeah, that's... I have nothing to add.
Okay, so speaking of steak, F1...
I'm hungry.
Yeah. They should just make it look like a giant piece of raw meat, their livery. That'd be hilarious. And get A1 to sponsor it or something. Although I don't need A1 sauce on my steaks, but...
Mm-mm. I like some barbecue sauce, but not that A1 stuff.
Remember that... never mind. I was going to say that steak we had at my bachelor weekend was amazing.
I didn't have any.
Yeah, I remember that as I said that. Okay, so apparently James Key, who I believe left Mercedes, or no, McLaren. I don't know. I can't remember where he left to go to.
I thought it was Mercedes.
Yeah, that was my first instinct, but I'm not going to look it up. We can just, they'll tell us if we're wrong. I'm sure somebody will yell at us. He joined Stake in September, but he says that his job basically of helping to prepare the team for when it becomes Audi is not going to be complete until 2027. It's not going to be a final product until then. So I think they become Audi in 2026, and then I guess they're just going to sacrifice a year, it sounds like, in terms of expectations. They're already saying that 2 years out.
All right.
It's a major manufacturer moving into F1. I mean, that's a lot of pressure on them. So maybe they're trying to take some of that off of themselves, but I don't really like the way this looks of your 2 years out or 3 years out and saying it's not going to be a finished product. And
I can see you saying, like, going into 2026, like, hey, you know, this is going to be a learning year, but saying it two years in advance is like, hey, we're going to finish with like 0 points this year. So, like, just cut us some slack. Like, we are laying the groundwork now so that in 2 years, you can't tell us anything else other than, well, you told us so.
Or maybe James Key is setting expectations for the Audi leadership in terms of, don't expect success immediately. It's not a finished product the first year we're going to be in F1. And so don't just rip your money out of the project if we're not running up front immediately. Who knows? I don't know what the motivation is, but I just thought it was interesting. And then the final piece of news for this week that I wanted to discuss with you is to make fun of the FIA.
Let's do it.
So I guess a few weeks ago, so at the end of last year, like December 30th of 2023, we saw Steve Nielsen, who was the sporting director at the FIA. He bailed, and I think his quote was something about, I don't know, he wasn't very positive, I guess, let's just say, about the way the organization was going. And I mean, he's a major person, right? This is going to be some big shoes to fill. He's somebody who worked at Lotus. He worked at Tyrrell, Benetton, Williams, and AlphaTauri prior to coming into F1 management. And then he worked closely with the race director, and he was responsible for all sporting matters in F1. So the development of race control, the remote operations center, and then updates to sporting regulations, and we just lost that person. But apparently, he just said he decided against continuing when, you know, Mohammed Ben Salam's style of leadership is apparently a major source of why he left, as well as just a number of issues like track limits and some of the other kind of ridiculous problems that the FIA has embroiled themselves in over the time that he's been there. He just decided, I'm over it, and I'm sure he'll get a job elsewhere if he wants to. But so we also saw Tim Goss, who is another technical director in the FIA. So they're losing some major people. He worked apparently for McLaren from 1990 to 2018 before taking up a position with the FIA, and he's super highly respected. He's the technical director. But yeah, I guess he also wasn't interested in continuing. And this strikes me as one of those situations where, as all these people who have been in F1 for years and years and years, then make it to the FIA and decide, actually, this is an untenable work environment. I can't work here. It leads me to one conclusion, and that is Mohammed Ben Salam.
I mean, not only that, it's like any, you know, sports organization that is run poorly. When new leadership comes in, it takes time to fix. Mm-hmm. So right now we are in the middle of the FIA being run poorly. I don't think Mohammed Ben Salam is going to not lead the FIA when the season starts this year. So, and you know, I'm guessing it's going to be at least a couple years, unless
How long are their terms?
I have no idea.
I'm going to look it up.
You know, unless there's some big revolt or something like that. But
4-year term.
You know, yeah. So we've got 2 more years.
I think that's right. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, odds are, because it's the FIA, he'll probably be here for another 4-year term after that. So, or the other problem is, if they boot him out because F1 team management is mad, there's no guarantee it's going to get better, because we've seen how resistant they are to adding a team like Andretti Autosport.
I see what you did there.
Or whatever. So, you know, there's no guarantee it's going to be, you know, better in any sense of the word. So, you know, it's a precarious position right now, and quite embarrassing. It's going to be at least a couple of years before F1 is headed in an exciting direction. I mean, you could say, oh, there's new regulations coming. That's exciting. The last new regulations we got were supposed to be better racing. And granted, it wasn't totally new regulations. But, you know, when Mercedes was dominant and they changed things, the only thing it did was make Red Bull more dominant for the next 4 years. So is anything really changing? Probably not.
Yeah, I think unless you get some better leadership in there, and I know Ross Brawn is within F1, and then there's good people in F1. The FIA also seems to have good people, but they're losing them fast. That would suggest that the egg that is currently on their face is not going to be wiped clean for at least a little while longer. They need to know that it's time to move on if he's creating kind of a negative culture. And who knows if he's the actual reason, but just from all the controversies that we've seen with him over a very relatively short span of time, I'm making an assumption. I mean, I was predisposed to not like him anyway, just based on the history of what we've all heard. So I could be totally wrong here. But hey, that's what podcasts are for. It's for speculation. Unless we get some kind of a source that tells us differently. I'm going to blame it squarely on him. It's easier to blame it on one person like Ferrari does, or like NFL teams do. Like, you know, the Commanders firing Ron Rivera, or the Falcons firing whoever that guy is that's the son of the founder of FedEx.
Yeah, yep.
Something Smith, Arthur Smith, right?
Arthur Smith.
And after he just cursed out the Saints coach. Yeah.
If the Eagles lose the first playoff game on Monday, they are firing their coach as well. So,
yeah. I can't remember his name. What's his name again?
Nick Sirianni.
Yeah, Sirianni, that's right.
Yeah.
So hey, there's going to be a lot of people looking for new jobs in apparently all these fields. So hey, maybe do you think you could apply to the FIA or be an NFL coach? Which one is more likely for you to happen for you?
Which one was more likely, an NFL coach? Because
you think so?
Listen, the FIA, you probably have to speak like multiple languages or live overseas. And I mean, you guys listen to me talk. It's one language. That was one of the things I talked about with my career counselor today when we were updating my resume. She was like, do you speak any other languages? And I started laughing. I speak Spanglish, which is like, hola, and como estas? And that's pretty much where it ends. I know like a couple words from like high school, and I think I took it for like a semester in college. But I mean, yeah, college ended.
Wait.
13 years ago.
You didn't listen to enough Rammstein to learn German?
No, I don't really listen to the words because I don't really know what most of them are. As much as I enjoy the band and I've seen them live and it's wild, I've watched a lot of YouTube videos where they have like English translations on the screen, mm-hmm. just so I can like know what the words are. But do I pay attention to the German words other than Du hast? No, I do not.
Does that mean you have to, right? Or you have or something?
Yeah. I think it could be like
one. You must, right? Isn't it you must or something, essentially?
I'm not entirely sure.
I know some German phrases. I don't know why, but I'm not going to say them here. But if anyone wants to hear them, let me know. It means, what is it? Oh, you have, I guess. So that's okay. That was similar. Whatever. Yeah, it can apparently mean you hate as well. So interesting. We learned about some Rammstein today. This episode has been a wild one. A little bit off the rails. Yeah, I wasn't going to say off track because that's already trademarked, yeah. But it's been off the rails.
Yeah, and as we're sitting here recording, you know, I'm usually like multitasking and like texting and whatnot. So obviously, girlfriend, she's working for another couple hours. So I have not talked to her since noontime today, but her best friend is texting me about hockey stuff. So we could talk about hockey too, and it's really all over the place.
Oh, I had actually one question, I guess, to finish out the episode. Is I know, because she consulted me a bit on it, that girlfriend got you a pretty cool gift. Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that the coolest thing you got as a gift, like received or gave? Kind of stealing a question from one of the off-track episodes I listened to recently.
Yeah, I mean, it was really nice, and thank you for helping her. And you know, she showed me like an iPhone note of like all the options she had written down, and it was a lot. And there was like another one in particular that she was like, I really wanted to get you it was really nice, it was really unique, I'll send it to you when we're done.
Okay.
And she was like, I just couldn't find it in stock anywhere.
Oh, I bet. And I can find it for you.
I already did. Okay.
Did you buy it?
Not yet, but I'm going to. Because like, I think it'll look good like with a tux for your wedding sort of thing. It's more like a formal. Watch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the watch she got me is really nice. Like a date night / going to work if I had a day job. You know, sort of like.
When
thank you. You're going to hear a lot of negativity from me.
I'm here as the foil to that negativity.
Yeah. Oh, I need it, man. I mean, that's what I need. Is I need people to remind me of the positive things because I am, in my own head a lot.
Hey, you could be the FIA and Mohammed Ben Salam. So just always remember, it's all a perspective thing. I mean, he's rich, but if everyone hates you, it's not worth it.
Yeah. You know, so it was really nice. And she was honestly worried at first because she was like, wait, you're looking at this other watch. Like, do you want to return this one, like, for that one? And I'm like, no.
No, you need a couple.
When I find something I really like, I want, like, you know, I want another one. And I really liked what she got me. So I actually...
Yes.
I think, worked. Like, the day after Christmas or 2 days after Christmas, I took it to, like, get, like, a link taken out because it was a little big.
Oh, I could have done that for you. But I guess you have to come down here then, yeah.
Yeah.
How much do they charge you, like $20 for that?
$5.
Oh, what? You have a good shot. Yeah.
I'll have a story about that too. We'll continue on here. So, you know, and then I went back again Wednesday or Thursday. When was she at work? And I was up near her place Thursday. So, because I needed like one, like it fit fine, but it was like still a little loose. And I'm like, you know what? I think if I take one more out, it's not going to be too tight and it's perfect. So I first went to this like jewelry shop in South Philly and he didn't charge me anything to take a link out.
Is it like an old man?
No, it's one of those jewelry stores that caters to like people who are in rap music videos. There's a lot of like,
oh, okay, so like
a lot of like very big chains with lots of diamonds, or like watches with like an obscene amount of diamonds. Lots of diamonds
like
in that
massive
store. Massive, yeah. So,
I mean, hey, those things are cool, but I could never pull that off.
And I happened to be walking the other day. There's a section of Philly closer to her than to me, but you know, it's a mile down the street from me, called the Italian District, which is lots of old Italian shops, and there's a jewelry store right there. So I walked in and I was like, hey, I need
mob connected.
I don't know, maybe. And I was like, hey, I need another link taken out of this watch I got for Christmas. You know, can you help me out? And he's like, yeah, $5. I'm like, all right, sure. And I went to give him my card afterwards and I was like, I don't have cash. And he's like, that's fine. He's like, just, you know, next time if you buy something from here, just give me cash, which,
yeah,
I should probably do before I forget, but I mean, he was super nice, got it done in like 10 minutes, but...
I'm picturing like an old Italian man named Silvio, who's just like, you'll be back.
Yeah.
I love it. And if we get you into this hobby, it is... we can start a watch podcast. There are way too many of those already, but... Then we'll have way too many podcasts to record a week, though.
Yeah, that would be a lot. We could do a whole podcast episode on me overthinking many things in my life because of my current job situation, but that would just depress everyone.
It sounds like therapy, not a podcast.
Yeah.
And I'm not a therapist.
No.
Nowhere close. I only know, the only therapy I know is retail therapy.
Hey, you're very helpful though. When I'm like kind of not in the best of mood, and I text you, you're usually pretty helpful.
Yeah, that's good. You called me what? I bored you earlier, but then that kind of like that even things
out.
That was a good one. Yeah, that we're even now. So, I think that's all the stuff we have to talk about this week. Unless you have another interesting tidbit, I don't have anything. We've gone extra long, not extra long, but.
We've gone extra long when there's nothing going on right now.
Yeah, so people probably shut this off a while ago, but we're giving you an update on our lives, essentially, since last year, even though it's only been 8 days.
Yeah, all right. Well, I'm sorry. I am mopey. Thankfully, Frenchie is not, and that's all I got. We'll be back next week with something, and... I don't know. If people want me to keep rambling and ranting about life, I'm happy to keep rambling and ranting about life. If you don't want me to, well, you're probably going to have to deal with it. Okay, toodles.
Hi, listeners. We wanted to take a moment to tell you about another podcast from Evergreen Podcasts and Sound Talent Media called Pit Lane Parlay. Pit Lane Parlay is the go-to podcast for IndyCar and motorsports-related news. Each episode, we discuss things like our favorite drivers, news clips from the last week, and generally giving each other a hard time about predictions we've made in the past and or life stories that have come up recently. We really have a lot of fun with it and really enjoy each other's company, and we hope you can come join us too. Join Pit Lane Parlay by following us on your favorite podcast today.